Dear fellow redeemed, what is it that you're thankful for? That's one of those questions that we ponder, take a few moments this last Thursday in the month of November to ponder for just a few moments, maybe gathered around a turkey dinner, like the one day a year when you might make a turkey, or at least, you know, a turkey breast or something like that. And we ask and we think, what is it that we're thankful for? And thinking back over this year, it does sound kind of like a bad dream, at least some parts of it. It was a year and 10 days ago that there was a man in the city of Wuhan, China, who came down with a strange case of pneumonia. And then, you know, as the holidays approached, all the inhabitants of Wuhan flew around the world, and here's where we are now. What is it you're thankful for? Maybe you think back to January, and it was Australia and all the brush fires, or this last summer and California and all the brush fires, and you think to yourself that maybe, well, just maybe, at least that didn't happen here. At least that's not my house. What is it that you're thankful for? Scrolling through Facebook, maybe you have some of those friends who maybe during the entire month of November, or maybe only for a few days, they try to come up with something that they're thankful for. Thankful that, you know, a parent survived a heart attack. Thankful for another beautiful day and a beautiful sunset. Thankful for a few days of 70, nearly 80 degrees in November. And even now, it seems to hold true that Ohio winter isn't much more than you have to wear a jacket when you mow the lawn. What is it that, yeah, it's true. What is it that you're thankful for? And you think back, and maybe it's, what is it that you're thankful for? And you start thinking of the things that didn't happen. Maybe it was the first year that, you know, maybe the kids did without school, or they've done without face-to-face instruction for a while. Maybe you happen to be a teacher at one of those schools, and you see all the faces that kind of pop up for a few days, and then they're gone for a couple of weeks. And the coworkers at your own business that are there and then not there. And you think to yourself, what is it that I have to be thankful for? Maybe you went without a vacation or a getaway for the first time in a few years. Maybe it was the loss of a job, maybe a reduction in hours, maybe some belt tightening and cost cutting in the hope of not losing the employees, in the hope of making sure that those employees still have health insurance. What is it that you're thankful for? And you get the sense that maybe the thankfulness, at least right now, seems to be colored through this lens of at least. At least. At least it's not snowing out right now, or we'd have, you know, 2.5 feet of snow to shovel. At least I didn't get COVID, or I haven't yet. Or at least I came through it all right, along with 36 million other Americans. Maybe it's 40 million by now. At least the loved one that I lost is somebody that I know is in heaven with Jesus right now. At least, even though we aren't doing the same trek over to grandma's house and bundling the kids in the car to leave at 3 a.m. And doing all the festivities that we normally would, at least we're doing what we think is best to be safe. And at least we have these things, not just phone calls for 25 cents a minute or the 10 cents a minute for long distance, but things like video conferencing and Zoom calls and the Zoom call that you seem to have sat on for the last 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, getting pretty old, that kind of lights up a little bit when you see those people that you love and care about. What are we thankful for in the year of at least? when I personally, pastorally, have to go to a nursing home and I have to sign 3 forms before they let me in, and then they take my temperature and I'm wearing a mask, and then I'm sitting across the table 6.5 feet away with like a clear plastic shower curtain in between and talking with this person who hasn't had any outside visitors for maybe a couple months. At least I still get to come see her. At least I still get to bring him the Lord's Supper, so that they have that tangible reassurance that their sin is forgiven and that Jesus is with them. The year of at least. Feels like so much has been taken from us, but we kind of fill in the blank with that at least. And I even heard from a couple of pastors in our fellowship, different part of the world that had been severely hit by pandemic, and one had to had over 1,300 funerals in his town, and the other endured the death of 4 children, 4 out of 5 of his children, and his wife. At least my family's still around. At least we get to gather around a table, and at least we get to gather around the Lord's table in a beautifully spacious and technologically equipped sanctuary, the year of at least. And you kind of get the sense that, as I talked about this last Sunday, that the devil only has 2 tricks, that the first trick is to tempt you to sin, and the second trick is to make you think that sin is the unforgivable sin, really to tempt us to despair. But the other side of that is that even if he can't tempt you to a particular sin or tempt you to that idea of despair and throw up your hands and say, you know what, I'm guilty of sin and heaven forbid that God should have mercy on me, even if you're standing strongly and firmly in your faith, at the same time, it seems like the devil just has kind of the follow-up trick of trying to ruin every blessing that God has given. All those blessings we heard about in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God had created me and all that exists, that he gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members. I believe that God still preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, property and home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all that I own, all that I need to keep my body in life. God preserves me by defending me against all danger, guarding and protecting me from all evil. And it's like this idea that just as at the very beginning, when the devil was thrown out of heaven, and then he goes to try to disrupt the perfection of God's world, and that the devil, even still today, goes around trying to disrupt and steal every blessing out of our hands before we have a chance to enjoy them. The blessing of even freedom of thought and of the peace and security of being able to walk into Kroger and feel comfortable doing that. Remember those months of March and April, May, and maybe you're still doing it now. If you download the app and you order your groceries online and pick them up or have somebody deliver them, at least we could still get food. But it's like Satan comes along and wants to rip the blessings out of our hand. And if he can't take them away from us, then he wants to make us so distracted and so beaten down that we don't find joy in the blessings that Jesus has given to us. The strife within the family just kind of flares up when we have to stare at each other, and that's the only other person you can see without a mask for 3 or 4 months at a time. The stress that one feels at work bubbles over into the home life. The blessings that God has provided for you through your job just seem to start whittling away as we wonder. And if not whittling away in a numerical sense, in a quantifiable sense, at least whittling away because we don't find joy in the things that Jesus has given to us. What is it that we have to give thanks for in the year of at least? Well, Jesus tells us. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And this section is a, if you look at it, in Matthew chapter 6, I encourage you to take a quick peek when you get home. It's toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And the quick hint for understanding the Sermon on the Mount is that it's all law. Doesn't mean that it's all painful, but it has to be read with Christian eyes. That here Jesus is giving guidance for your life as somebody whose sin has been forgiven. And Jesus pulls back the shroud and exposes the devil's schemes for what it is at every point. If he can't tempt you to sin, if he can't tempt you to despair, then at the very least he'll settle for robbing the joy out of your heart and robbing the thanksgiving out of your mind. And in this year of at least, it seems like he's done an awfully good job of it. And so Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry. You know, maybe you were chasing deer up in Michigan or down in Ohio during this deer season. And you never stopped to think that God provided for that animal to eat. And that just earlier today, I saw a squirrel burying a nut in our backyard. And just like that, God still provides for little fat fox squirrels to live in our backyard. And the dark-eyed juncos are coming back, and the blue jays are there. And just every day, Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't go through school. They don't go to a trade school. They don't have to keep up certificates. They don't have an advanced degree. They don't have to pay a mortgage or a 401k or file for Social Security. And yet Jesus takes care of them. They don't have to run around and fly around worrying, do I have to wear a mask here or not? I forgot one in my other bag. They don't have to spend their days having the blessings of God robbed from their hearts. They don't think like that. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. But the point isn't about birds. The point is that he says, are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than they? What do we have to give thanks for in this year of at least? Let's start and end with the fact that Jesus has considered your life to be worth his. That Jesus has considered your life of such value that he traded his for yours. That Jesus wanted you to know how much he loves you, that he stood in your place and mine to take our punishment upon himself so that by his wounds we are healed. That Jesus, even tonight, wants you to be so sure of this fact that he is here today to give you his body and his blood together with the bread and the wine, as if to say, dear Christian, don't think of at least, think of how much. Not the, at least I still have this, and at least I still have that, and at least Jesus still loves me. But think of how much it is that Jesus still provides for me each and every day. And even if the blessings that I've enjoyed for the last, you know, decade or two have somewhat lost their luster and lost their shine, and maybe they aren't the plans that I had in mind, that mindset of at least is met with Jesus's how much it is that he has given for you, how much he has promised that even if and even when he decides to take you out of this world, how much it is that our Lord has promised to you. Talk about a reason to give thanks. And that's, you know, a heck of a lot better meal than turkey. I mean, I like turkey as much as the next guy. But turkey feeds you for a day, and Jesus promises to feed you for forever. And he still provides for you each day. How much it is that our Lord has loved you and me, that he still provides for you, And he's kept you here even today, even in this year, so that in a world that is wringing their hands and saying, at least this and at least that, and at least maybe we'll get through, at least maybe 2021 will be better. Oh, we'll save that one for a month. In a world that says at least, Jesus stepped in with his how much. And in a world that said, at least I'm going to do my best, Jesus said, how much is holiness worth? And he opened his veins and he said, this much. In a world that says, at least I still have my life and at least I can scrabble out another day, another year of existence, Jesus says, how much? Do you know how much of a heaven he has prepared for you? And do you know how much of each and every day he provides for you? That you probably didn't have to think about. Think about that little SA node by your heart, making sure that your heart kept ticking as you woke up this morning. You probably didn't have to worry too much about making sure that the house was warm as you got out of bed. And you probably didn't have to worry too much or fret too much about having breakfast in the fridge. And if you did, let us know and we can certainly help. Because this little place, Resurrection Lutheran Church, is a place where we get to gather together in a world that says, at least this, and at least we still can do that. We gather together and we say, how much? And we see how much our Lord has done for us. Those two pastors that I had mentioned earlier, the one who had over 1,300 funerals in his town, and the other who lost four or five children and his wife as well, they had this to say, and I'll read it. It's not an email. It's from this little red book that we call a hymnal. This is what the first one said, who had 1,300 funerals. Now let all the heavens adore you. Let the saints and angels sing before you with harp and cymbals, clearest tone of one pearl, each shining portal, where dwelling with the choir immortal, we gather around your radiant throne. No vision ever brought, no ear has ever caught such great glory. Therefore will we in victory sing hymns of praise eternally. That's the third verse of hymn number 206, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Philip Nicolai, at the height of the 30 Years' War, as the pandemic known as the bubonic plague swept through his town, he buried 1,300 congregation members in 1 year, and actually in 6 months. And it was at that time that he wrote this hymn, number 206. And the other guy, the one who lost four of his five children, as well as his wife, had this to say, O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you aright? Your people long to greet you, my hope, my heart's delight. O Jesus, let your word be a lamp to light my way, to show me how to please you, to guide me every day. Since that fearful burden, let not your soul's distress, your guilt the Lord will pardon, and covered by his grace, he comes for you procuring the peace of sin forgiven, his children thus securing a heritage in heaven. Jesus is no, that was actually it's the same hymn on two pages, pages 18 and 19, or hymn number 18 and 19, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You, by a hymn writer named Paul Gerhardt, one of the, if not the, second to Martin Luther, the best hymn writer that the Lutheran Church has ever produced. Lost four of his five kids and his wife. And all he could say is, Lord, prepare my heart to meet you. Not because they were crazy. Although if we get swept along in a world that says, at least, they might sound a little crazy. But when we gather around the throne of grace, where we see God's how much, and how great, and how much he has promised, how much he has done, even in a world of at least, at a time of at least, we see how much our Lord continues to do today, and how much our Lord continues to promise for tomorrow. What is it that we have to give thanks for? What is it that we have to give thanksgiving for? What is it that you're thankful for? How much it is that our Lord has done for us, continues to do for us, and has promised for us. And so, as you sit down to your meal, whether it's turkey or chicken nuggets, it would be very tempting and very easy to kind of get into the rut of at least. Because there's some kind of a, you know, dark humor to that, I suppose. But my encouragement is to change that at least to how much. Because that's what Jesus has to offer. How much has he given to you? Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Together with his body and blood. Eternity with him now. Peace with him now and forever. How much? How thankful? Amen.